5. I read this week of a, of course, it's not a true story, but it shows a point about the devil had a yard sale, and he put all of the tricks of his trade out, and out there on the table was hatred, envy, jealousy, doubt, lying, pride, and there's just a whole lot of things out. You know, so some guy came by and looked at all the tables and looked at everything, and saw the price of it. And then he picked up one. He said, what is this one? He said, it's the most expensive one here. And the devil said, well, that is discouragement. He said, it's the most expensive one because it's the one that I use most often on people that go to church. He said, I have a hard time to getting them to hate and be envious and jealous, and hard time to give them to doubt and to lie and all these other things. He said, but most of the time they fail in the area of discouragement. You know, I begin to think, I think in today's world, there's a lot of discouragement. With down at the mission, I taught something like this last night, and there was three individuals came to me last night, and they said, the preacher said, thank you. I'm so discouraged this week. It's the holidays, and this is going on, and that is going on. So tonight I want us to just step back for a little bit and then look at the idea of discouragement. It's a long introduction, but a short message. So don't get scared at the introduction, if you would, please. We'll have a word of prayer, then we'll get started. Lord God, we love you, and we thank you again for this day, and for your blessings, and always, Lord, we will thank you for your goodness to us and for the opportunity we have to be in thy house tonight, and we have opportunity to open thy word, and we have opportunity to listen to the Holy Spirit as he speaks to our hearts tonight. And Father, we do just thank you, Lord, for all that we have. And Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, as we look at your word, Lord, I pray you help my throat to hold up. And God, I just pray, Father, that you'd be my speech, give me clarity of speech and clarity of thought. And Father, Lord, I pray now that you do what only you can do in our lives tonight. Lord, help us to listen, for I know you're speaking tonight. We ask in Christ's name, amen. I guess that tonight, eventually we're going to go over to the book of Haggai chapter 2 will be our text, but I'm going to lay a long foundation tonight before we get to our text. We see in 2 Kings chapter 25, it's 586 B.C., and we're going to look at verse 1, and then we'll look on down to verse 21 as well. 2 Kings 25:1, it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his host, against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and they built fronts against it round about. Then look over down at verse 21, if you would, please. It said, and as the king of Babylon smote them and slew them at Riblah in the land of Hamath, so Judah was carried away out of their land. We see here in 586, it's when Judah fell, and they were destroyed with Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon came in, and he destroyed Solomon's temple, and he destroyed the land. He took all of the folks out that was wealthy or intelligent, and he left just the poor people behind, and he pretty much ransacked the whole area there, and that's in 586 B.C. Now turning, if you would, over to Ezra chapter 1, book of Ezra chapter 1. Ezra, we're going to jump ahead now about 50 years. So we have 586, and then here in Ezra chapter 1, we see that the year is 536 B.C. So we're going to read Ezra chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. We see at this time in history that Persia is taking over where Babylon was, and there's a new king there. His name is Cyrus. So Ezra chapter 1 and verse 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation through all of his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people, his God be with him, and let him go into Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build a house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, Let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, beside the free will offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. So we see that there's now a king there that's favorable to the Jews, and so he gave them freedom to leave and sent money and then the silver and the gold for the rebuild of the temple and the altars there, and things was good. And we know from history that about 50,000 Jews went back. There was many more there that stayed because they got comfortable. They're in their lifestyle. They have families there, and so there's some that went, but many stayed behind. So 586 is when Judah fell. 536 is when King Cyrus, issued a with a degree, and then so the 50,000 they got there, and they started the work there on the altars on the temple. Now look at chapter 4, verse 23. When they got there, there was some opposition there to the work, and that they came in to discourage the people, and then they sent to the king of Persia, and they complained about the Jews. So Ezra chapter 4 verse 23. Now when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshiah, the scribe, and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem to the Jews and made them to cease by force and power. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So we see here when Israel fell, we see when King Cyrus led the Jews to go back, we see how they get back in the land, that they started the work, and then there was more opposition came. Now look over to the book of Haggai chapter 2, and we're going to come back to Ezra chapter 4. So we're going to go to Haggai chapter 2 now. Book of Haggai chapter 2. No, I'm sorry. But Haggai, we're going to go to chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1. And in the second year of Darius the king, in the 6 months, and then the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Joshedek, the high priest, saying, now, okay, hold your place there, and then go back over to Ezra chapter 4. I told you, hold your place. Ezra chapter 4, verse 24, the last part says, so it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. And then the Darius, the king of Persia, it's the same one there in Haggai chapter 1. So the book of Haggai takes place somewhere between the end of Ezra chapter 4 and chapter 5, verse 2. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, then the prophets of Haggai, then the prophets Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied to the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem, and in the name of the God of Israel, even to them. Now back over to Haggai chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2. So now what we've seen so far is this, that in the temple was destroyed, it was ransacked, all of the folks was taken out, they were taken captives, and the other ones that stayed behind was the poor people, and then the land that never recovered. So they're over there in Babylon, they're there, and then the king was favorable to the people, and they prospered, they began to have businesses and houses and all these things. And then in 536, King Cyrus said, you guys can go back home if you want to. But out of the whole crowd that was there, it was only 50,000 that went back home there with Zerubbabel. So they went back home, and they got there, and they built the altar, and then they begin to rebuild the temple. And so they began to rebuild the temple, and then there was another group that was in the land. It was kind of like the Samaritans was there in the land, and they began to gripe and complain. Well, they went to discourage the Jews, and they sent a letter to Artaxerxes, and complained about all the people. So now, here are these Jews. Now, stop for a second and think with me. You hear these Jews now that have left a comfortable place there in Babylon. they wasn't slaves like we think of. They was there in Babylon. They had prospered and they had done well. It was so good there that a lot of folks, they wouldn't leave. So they came back home to Israel, and they built an altar, and they began to rebuild the temple of God, the temple there, because the one from Solomon was destroyed. And they started on it, and they laid the foundation of it, and then they sat down because they couldn't work no more. And then Artaxerxes came up and said, "Listen, guys, you can go back to work." They still sat there. I'd say they was discouraged. They left Babylon, where they had prospered for all those years, to come back to a land where they had to rebuild everything. Their houses was tore apart, and they began to rebuild their houses and rebuild their lives. But they wasn't doing now what they came back to do, which is to rebuild the temple. So between chapter 4 and chapter 5 of Ezra, God calls Haggai and Zechariah on the scene. He says, "Go prophesy to the people." So tonight we see that Haggai dealt with the people. I think that they was discouraged. I think sometimes in our lives that we have discouraged. I only have 2 points tonight. The first point is this: is the cause of discouragement. And then the second thing is a cure for discouragement. If you look at Haggai chapter 2, now we're to our text. Okay, Haggai chapter 2. "In the seventh month of the 120th day of the month came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, a governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory?" The first cause of discouragement is the things we remember. They said this time that Haggai is an older man, and he probably had seen the temple before it was destroyed. And there's still some older folks that have come back home, and they have seen what the temple was, and now they're tired and they're wore out, and now they're sitting there and they're thinking how things used to be. They remember the old temple, and the old temple was a place that's almost indescribable. Not only did it discourage them, but it would also begin to discourage the other workers. It's said that memory is not a bad thing, unless we live there. Memory is not a bad thing unless we live there. So instead of getting up and going back to work, they were sitting there thinking about how good things used to be. It used to be, with all those years ago, the old people were saying, "We remember how grand it was and how great it was." I'm sure they remembered how much ease they had it in Babylon. So I think one of the first causes of discouragement is to the things we remember. Then I'll come down to verse 4 and 5. But I'll be the second cause is the things we forget. Verse 4, "Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord of hosts." Remember, he said to be strong, O Zerubbabel, and the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua. Be strong again, Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, saith the Lord, the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word of the Lord, I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth in you, remaineth among you, fear ye. You're not. Turn back, if you would, to Exodus chapter 6, verse 7. We're going to see here what this verse is referring back to some promises that God had made to people. The first cause is things that we remember. The second cause is things that we forget. Exodus chapter 6, a lot of verses tonight. My nose is starting to run. Exodus chapter 6. Verse 7. We see here a promise of God said, I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Now look over at Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Again, this is what he's referring to when he brought him out of Egypt. Exodus chapter 19, remember verse 5. 19 and verse 5. Now, that therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak of the children of Israel. And then on over to chapter 33, verse 12. Again, some things that God is reminding them that they're there. Back over to Exodus chapter 33, verse 12. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. Thou hast sinned also and found grace in thy sight. So we should hear in verse 5 of Haggai chapter 2 that he was referring back to that. So the folks, they began to remember how things used to be and how great the things was in days gone by. And now they look around, and it's not like they think they ought to be, and they get discouraged. And then they sit there, well, what longer? And they think, you know what? How did we get here? Well, they have forgot what God had done in the life of David and Solomon, and all the background. They forgot what God has promised. But I thought this, well, you know what? God has made us the same promise. Hebrews 13 and 5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Because many times in our lives, we begin to look back, and then when we get depressed, we think, Lord, you're not working in my life. I was thinking this week, I remember back when I was 18. I was younger. I was prior. I mean, not prior. I forgot the word. I was younger. I was more limber. I could bend over and not say ouch. I could listen to my wife talk and not say huh. I could do all those things. I remember those days. If I'm not careful, I'll go back and I'll live in those days, in this body now, and I always wish I could go back. And I will forget that all things work together for good to them that love God. I've been through some hard times. Many of y'all have been through much worse than I have. But, it's those days that have gone by, and it's those hard times that we've been through that God has allowed us to get to this point here. If I go back to I'm 18, I wouldn't have Lydia. That'd be a bad deal. I wouldn't have Rick and Rachel, Caleb, Eli, Micah. I wouldn't have Bryson, Crystal, Allie. I wouldn't have a whole lot that I have now that I treasure. But when I stop and I go back and think how things used to be, I live there and I ignore the blessings of God upon my life now. And then after I live here enough, I'll begin to forget what God has promised in my life. God has promised that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. So I think the first step to discouragement is to always be looking back. The second step to discouragement is to forget to forget what God's promised us. Now go back to the book of Haggai chapter 2, if you would, please, in verse 3. The end of it, we begin to make comparisons. Verse 3, and how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison as if it is nothing? We underestimate God's plan now. They were right where they should be at the right time. It was prophesied. All of this was prophesied ahead of time. These things would happen. So they're right where they should be doing what they should be doing, but they're so stuck in the past, and then they forgot what God is doing in their life, that they're doing the very work of God, the God what wants them to do during God's plan, during God's will, doing God's work, and yet they're sitting there, and they're discouraged. I mean, just think, the temple that they are going to build now is nothing in comparison to the temple of Solomon. It's nothing to compare to Solomon. But that was a different time and different day. But this temple will have something that that temple never had. This temple one day will see Joseph and Mary walk in the courtyard and present baby Jesus there to the priest. Anna, will she hold baby Jesus there? The temple they're building now is for a specific reason, a purpose as well. Folks, many times in our lives, if we're not careful, we get so stuck in the past that we get discouraged and depressed, and when we get that, and then we begin to forget God's promise, how God is working in our lives, and then we'll get to where we're at now, and we won't value the work of God in our life now. I would love to be 18 in my body to have all that I have now. But if I didn't go through the last 41 years after I was 18, almost for January 11th, I'm almost 60 years. If I went back and stayed there, I wouldn't be who I am today. I wouldn't have the things I have today. I wouldn't have what little wisdom I do have, not much, but I wouldn't have that little wisdom that I have today. If we're not careful, sometimes we can sit and reflect and live in the past and lose the present. Spiritually speaking, I think we do it spiritually as well. We think, well, God, what's God going to do with me now? I mean, I can't do this. I can't do that. Well, I forget the promise in Isaiah where he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will hold thee by the right hand. Fear not. Keep on going. Throughout the whole Word of God, there's all kind of encouragement there for each stage of our life. My wife and I, with many, and the reason I'm sitting down is because I'm just tired. No. Many years ago, my wife and I decided to enjoy each stage of life as it came. When the kids was first born, they was up, but I worked at night. My wife was up all night, and she tried to keep the kids asleep all day. It was great for me. But, we chose to, each stage. And then the kids got 2 and 3 years old. Crystal was good, and Ricky made up for that. They was 2 and 3 years old. And we enjoyed that stage. And then they hit the stage of the toddlers. Why? We enjoyed that stage the best we could. And then they came preteens, and then teenagers. Then young adults. We could have got stuck on one of those stages of life. But what we would have missed in our life had we got stuck. So I think that some things that the children of Israel had done, that they began to remember the past, they reflect on the past all the time. They forgot God's promises, and then they begin to make comparisons with the past with the present. So that's the cause. Now, lastly, the cure for discouragement. Look at verse 4. Look at verses 4. The first verse thing we need to do is to let go. Ye now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. We see here that we need to let go of the past and focus on the present. In our lives, I think it's important that I stop, and I don't wish my life away. Like I said, I could go back and look at when I was 18. I mean, I could ride a bike, I could walk. I never could run. I always waddled. I could do a lot more. But it's good to have those memories. There's some good memories there. There's some bad memories, too, of the bike wreck, intensive care, and almost dying of Brother Wilson. It was a bad memories there as well. I could live in the past, or I can let go of those things. There was good things happened to me, and there was some bad things happened to me. Elmwood, it brings back some bad memories. But I can't hold on to the past. I can't take it and hold on it and make it my focus. With number one, we have to let go of the past. Number two, verse 5. According to the word that I have covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. Second thing is, look up. It was told to not fear, not fear, not fear. I need to look ahead. The first one was to let go, then look up. God's in charge. God's in charge of all these things. Do I understand that the same God that was with David when he went out to fight Goliath, the same God I serve today? We say, how could Brother Harris have the courage to stay in Mexico after all he's been through? How can he have the courage? He's got the right view of God. He knows God's able. He knows God's able. Look up. Our view of God determines how we live our lives today. I really believe that the same God of David there in Samuel 17 when he went out to face Goliath, I serve the same God David did. I serve the same God of Daniel when he was thrown there to the lions in the den. I serve the same God, as Daniel did, the God that shut the mouths of lions. I serve the same God as the three Hebrew boys when they're thrown in the fiery furnace, and they said, "Oh, King, you know, I don't know if God will, but He can." But we still won't bow. And then the king looked in there and looked. He said, "I cast in three, and I see four. Behold, once now is the image of the Son of God." I serve the same God. I serve the same God of Abraham that worked in his life through the good and the bad. I serve the same God as all the Old Testament and the New Testament. I serve the same God as those in our Baptist heritage that they have suffered and died for their faith. I serve the same God as those that God worked through to preserve our Bible. I serve the same God. If I really believe I serve the same God they did, let's affect the way I live. Sometimes when we get discouraged, we quit looking up and we look down and say, "What can I do? What can I do?" I was talking to Miss Rains, Pastor Tim's mom, the other day, and her and I was talking, you know, and I said, "The hardest thing is just not being able to fix it." She started crying. We can't fix it. Our only hope is in God. Because they have a right view of God, so they're trusting God through this time of their life, a time when they could get discouraged and distraught. They're trusting God. In our lives, number one, I need to let go of the past. I'm not saying we forget it, but I let go and I don't live it no more. I live in the present. I live in the present and I look up. And I know that God's in charge. He loves me. He said He'd never leave me. He said He'll take care of me. He said all things work together for my good. He said, I can come to Him with any burden, any heartache. He said, you know, his ear never turns me away. He's always listening. He's there. He's a great comforter. He's a great physician. He's all these things. If I really believe He is all those things, how can I get discouraged? If I believe He is all those things, how can I get discouraged? And the third thing simply is this. The last couple of verses there, it talks about the end times. Look ahead. Talked to Bob Sims last night. And today, they went to court. And they did a plea deal with the man that killed Bob's son. He got 10 years in prison. Short time for murder. But they weren't sure they could get much more because of situations there. He deserves more. You know what? I said, "Bob, it ain't over. God's still on the throne. God's the judge." I said, "Bob, don't look back. Bob, look ahead. I mean, look up. God loves you. Bob, look ahead. One day all things will be made right. The Lord's going to come back and make all of our heartaches right, make all these things right. If I forget those things, I will be the same place that the children of Israel there as they sit around. And Haggai said, get up, guys, get going. Guys, don't be discouraged. You know, and he preached, Haggai and Zechariah preached between chapter 4 and 5 of Ezra, but they preached and they encouraged them to get up and get going. Now, if you would, go ahead and turn back to the book of Ezra. Book of Ezra. Chapter 5. Between 4 and 5 is when Haggai and Zechariah was written. And then chapter 5, verse 1, it tells us that. Then the prophets Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the prophet, the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even to them. Then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of the God, which was at Jerusalem, and then with the prophets of God helping them. So then they got up, and they got busy. They quit looking behind. They looked up, and they looked ahead. Tonight, if you're not, and you're going through a hard time, don't let go. Let go. Look up. God's able. Look ahead. God will make all things right. There are some things that's easy preaching for me. Well, it's not easy preaching, but hard living, and discouragement's one of them. I need this message. God gave it to me about 2 weeks ago. I studied for about 2 weeks. Some things it's easy preaching, just harder living. And I think that's why when I read the illustration of the devil's yard sale, it hit home. I'm not tempted with a whole lot of the other vices, but you know, discouragement is one that hits me. Tonight, if you're battling discouragement, I encourage you, listen to the Word of God tonight. Let go. Look up at God. Serve Him. Focus on Him. And then look ahead. God will make all things right. I don't understand why things happen to us. I know there's all kind of reasons that we say, because we live in sin, and these are all true. We live in a sin-cursed world, and this and that. But this thing I know, God's in charge. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. There's alls in both those verses. Which means, whatever I'm going through, at whatever stage of life I am, each stage of life has its different issues, I guess, but whatever stage of life we're in, those two alls cover everything. All things will work out, and God wants me to come in lay all things on Him. Tonight, if you're discouraged, just stop. Ask God to help us. Help us get back on track.